Welcome back, everyone, to the Courageous Nation podcast, where every week we give you tips to live courageously and overcome obstacles. Now, usually we have our host, Lance Merrickey, with us, but today you get to just hang out with Coach Rachel and I, Coach Mandy, from Big Blue Couch Coaching, because we are traveling for a business trip. So we thought we would just do something kind of off the cuff today for this episode. So, Rachel, what are we talking about?
Okay, so what we're talking about is, we're talking about that dreaded word, criticism.
That is a dreaded word.
It is. It's like one of those words that even if you put something like creative, or not creative criticism, what am I thinking of?
Constructive.
There yes. You go. It's kind of been a long day, people, so thoughts might be a little hard.
It's also like 7 o'clock at night. So.
Yes. So constructive criticism. That's kind of the way to make criticism sound like it's not as bad. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those words that if you know somebody needs to tell you something that's going to be a little critical, it's never something you're looking forward to.
Yes.
So what we're talking about today is actually how to handle somebody who is either criticizing or trying to give you some constructive criticism and how to do that with grace and not get hurt by the words that they're saying.
I love this angle because I think it's something that we can all benefit from. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, there seems to be this spirit of offense that people take offense to anything, whether somebody means to be offensive or not.
Yes.
Most of the time, people don't mean to be.
Right.
But when it comes to constructive criticism, we can really take that the wrong way if we don't know what to look for.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about, like, so we want to give you guys about three things maybe to think about when it comes to criticism and how to maybe take it without getting hurt and kind of how to filter out what you should be listening to and maybe what just needs to roll off your back. So the first thing is to examine the source.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And so there is a book called Daring Greatly, and it's by author Brené Brown. Mm-hmm. And she has this amazing quote, which I can't really say all of it because she uses some choice words in it. But the quote pretty much says that if this person is not in the ring with you, their opinion and their feedback doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So what she means by that is if it's somebody who is trying to give you some, and let's just say constructive criticism, let's kind of focus on that maybe today, where somebody's trying to tell you something to maybe improve mm-hmm. something that you're doing, whether it's a boss or a spouse or a friend of yours mm-hmm. that's trying to maybe give you some feedback. First of all, is it somebody who is worthy enough to speak into your life? Is it somebody from your inner circle? Is it somebody who's important to you? Is it somebody who you respect their opinion? Mm-hmm. Do you have a healthy relationship with them? And if it is, then you need to do the hard part of actually maybe listening to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, and I don't know if this is true for you, Mandy, but I think it's true for a lot of people, that sometimes it's hard to hear constructive criticism because oftentimes they're touching on a sore spot.
Yes. Well, I think it depends. Like for me, and I who were we talking about this with, where I said there are things that you could tell me that other people couldn't.
You were telling me. We were actually talking about our husbands and how sometimes we can tell each other certain things.
I totally thought it was some other topic we were kind of referring to, but whatever, that doesn't matter. but it's true because I think I've given maybe three people in my life permission.
Right.
To call me out on things that other people could not say without me taking it the wrong way.
Yep.
But even though I might not like it when you or my husband or Miss Maddie say something to me, initially I might not like it or it might be hard to hear. Because I've given you guys that permission to speak into my life, I will go back and really consider it.
Right.
And usually people don't, like, when it's your inner circle people and they know you well enough, they're not going to just tell you stuff because they're irritated at you and they just want to say mean words.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I know with you and Nate and Miss Maddie, like, you get a certain look on your face when it's a serious thing that I need to consider.
Right.
I don't know. Do I do that to you?
If you have a certain look before you say it?
Yeah.
No, but you kind of have some certain wording that I know okay. Something is coming. So, But see, this is the whole point of consider the source. So if somebody's saying something to you and they're not in that inner circle, they don't have maybe permission to speak into your life. If it's just some random person or somebody that's an acquaintance and they feel like some people just are more critical of other people for all kinds of different reasons. That's not what this show is about, is why some people are critical more than others, because that's a whole nother topic. But letting things go sometimes when they're not that inner circle of people, it really doesn't matter what their opinion is. And like Brené Brown said, if they're not in the ring with you, their feedback shouldn't matter.
Okay, so even though that isn't the topic of this episode necessarily, I'm sure there are some listeners who are thinking, but what do I do with those people who are overly critical and say anything and everything all the time?
Right. Well, for me, whenever I think of somebody who has a critical spirit, it's usually from a place of anger or hurt or sadness. Mm-hmm. And really, there's nothing you can do about that besides responding in a way that doesn't cause more conflict. That's probably the wisest thing you can do, because you can't change that person's feelings. You can't change that person's behavior. You can't change the words they use, but you can change how you respond to it. And you just not responding to it will squash it quicker than anything else.
That's a good point.
I think so often we get into like this combative feel where we have to like defend ourselves. And with somebody who is already critical and they really don't, they can't see anything positive in what you're doing with your life, no matter what you do, just let that roll off your back, because there's nothing you can do to prove it or change their opinion.
Right. That is a good tip. I think, too, like, when it comes to, like, social media and stuff, I know we've said this before on our other show, The Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show, about how block and ban people.
Yes.
I mean, or unfollow. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You really do have to be very, you have to be protective of your inner peace and of your mindset.
Absolutely.
And that even includes overly critical people. But when it comes to your inner circle, people that you trust, who you've given permission to call you out on things and keep you accountable, you do have to be able to take a step back and listen to their constructive criticism without getting mad at them.
Because really nobody likes to give constructive criticism either. So if you are somebody who is in somebody's inner circle and you know there's something that you need to bring up, there's none of us that are like, woohoo, yay, we have to give some criticism. It's terrifying on their part too. So if they are people who will speak into your life and they're brave enough to say something because they see something you could be doing better, or it's something that you've given them permission to keep you accountable on, honor that. Honor that they're brave enough and they care about you enough to bring it up, because that's a huge indication that you have a very healthy relationship with that person.
I think that's interesting, because when you were saying that, I was thinking about our clients, because as a life coach, as coaches, there are moments where we have speak into their lives and give some, we call it tough love.
We give it, because it sounds better.
Because it sounds better, but I can think of a couple one-on-one clients that I've had where it's, you know, Our goal as a company is to help people feel comfortable in their own skin.
Right.
And it's taken us a while to be able to word that.
Figure, like, it's kind of one of those concepts that was out there, but we couldn't quite find the words to grab it.
And but that's really what our goal is to help them feel comfortable in their own skin. And that means that we have to give them constructive criticism sometime. And I know that there have been a couple clients that I've worked with where they've given me the permission to speak into their lives. And I always kind of preface it with, okay, can I tell you something heart to heart?
Right.
Like, will you let me say this? And it's not something that they ever, I've never had somebody get super angry at me about it, but I have seen that they maybe didn't agree with that criticism initially.
Yep.
But they always go home and do the homework and really process it and consider it. And I can think of one client in general where, or one client specifically, I mean, who was not excited at all about a session that we did together, because we went really deep with some things that had been really keeping her stuck. And we walked through it, tough love and all. Pushed through tears, even because sometimes that happens.
And that happens actually quite frequently.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't know if that happens with everybody who has to do constructive criticism, but with with us as coaches, mm-hmm. when you touch on a spot mm-hmm. that's maybe a little bit sore and you didn't want anybody else to see it and your life coach all of a sudden pulls it out,
yeah,
there can be a lot of tears and for a lot of different reasons. Right. Sometimes they're healing. Sometimes it's a little bit of anger right away, but it's
good. I think overall they're healing tears, mm-hmm. but at first it's shock. Like, shock. Oh my gosh, somebody noticed. But I did have this person come back at the next session and she looked lighter.
Right.
She looked like she was learning, like she was getting closer to feeling comfortable in her own skin right. because she was willing to take that criticism and trust the process that her coach gave her mm-hmm. And even take it.
The source. She trusted you to say it.
Yep. And even taking it a little bit further than I had even asked her to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's somebody who can really take constructive criticism and not get offended by it, and somebody who can let it help them grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what the purpose of constructive criticism really is.
Right.
But I don't know how many people actually get there.
I don't know.
I mean, it can be a tough road, but yeah. I don't have notes for this show. Rachel has them all on her phone, so I have no idea where we're going next.
Well, and I kind of just have an outline, so.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't this feel awkward without Lance here?
It does.
Like, it's been a long time since we've done a podcast, just you and I.
Right, and we have to be in charge of the flow and getting from one point to the next. Like, yeah. Apparently we just kind of gave that job over to Lance, hook, line, and sinker. We miss you, Lance, so.
If you're listening.
Anyway. Okay, so we talked about examining the source,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of want to talk about point two and point three a little bit together, because okay. they really do tie into each other, and the other ways besides examining the source, and this would really be then, once you examine the source and it's somebody you need to respond to or something right. you need to respond to because they are in your inner circle, we're not talking about the people anymore. Like, at this point, then, once they are critical about mm-hmm. something and it's not somebody that is in the ring with you, then let it go.
Right.
But if you've said, yes, this is somebody that's in my inner circle, now how do I respond to it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't react right away.
Okay, so number two, don't react.
That is number
right
two,
away.
Don't react right away. Because this brings you to number three, so you can respond with confidence and with uh-huh. a clear thoughts about it. Because typically, when somebody needs to tell you something like that,
uh-huh.
it's kind of like being in conflict with somebody. It kind of brings those same kind of emotions yeah. where there might be a little bit of surprise, which mm-hmm. can lead to some anger, or it can lead to a little bit of shock or whatever. And we never respond well when we're in the midst of conflict and mm-hmm. high emotions. And so this idea of not reacting right away
yeah.
is probably worth its weight in gold for some of you people. Because when we react right away, we usually don't react with any kind of really good brain power. Like,
no.
We just react out of our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually not good. So we can completely destroy the whole point and sometimes even destroy a relationship because somebody, right. we say something that we shouldn't have from somebody mm-hmm. who thought they were trusted enough to speak into our lives. And we don't want to ruin relationships like that
no.
out of a moment of anger or a moment of confusion.
I know there have been times where you and I have talked about stuff and we're just at the point in our friendship and our relationship where we can tell each other, I don't like what you just said. Which means I probably have to go back and think about
right.
it. Because if you don't like if it really rubs you the wrong way, that's a defense mechanism right away.
Mm-hmm.
Of, I don't want to hear it, I don't like it.
Right.
Which means you probably need to think about it.
Right.
Not that you have to agree about it, but really go back and think about it and do a self-assessment.
And if you need to respond, I mean, it's not like you should just stand there not saying anything.
Right.
That's not what we mean.
Don't be a deer in headlights.
One of the things you can say if you know it's something you need to think about is, A, first of all, say, I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I need to think about this. Can we talk about this more maybe in a couple days?
Yeah.
Thank you for what you're saying. I totally see maybe where you're coming from, but I kind of want to think about this a little bit
mm-hmm.
before I respond.
That's a script that
it's a
people
script.
Can write down.
You can write that all down.
Because some people do need to write things down and
yes.
practice saying them. That's
yes.
actually a good idea to do.
Yeah, so if you're one of those people who just blurts out whatever comes to your mind when you get...
Don't do that.
When you have somebody that's trying to tell you something that's maybe feeling a little critical,
mm-hmm.
Write this down. Write that script down. Pause it. Go back and
yes.
and write it down again and repeat saying it. Because mm-hmm. if we don't have those kind of tools ahead of time, when we get in those situations, we'll just revert back to our normal behavior.
Right.
And so we'll either clam up or we'll explode. Those are usually the two options that you have when you're feeling, you know, attacked on something.
Yes.
So the reason you don't react right away is because you want to respond well. And that was the third thing, was responding with confidence. And oftentimes when we get into these, we say, like, you know, maybe something like, thank you for saying that, let me think about it. But sometimes we never go back, because there's something about conflict we want to avoid at all costs, even if it just means bringing it up again, because we're not really good at it sometimes.
No.
So resolving conflict is really a skill. I wish it was something we were born with, but I'm sure some people might be, but
I think there are some people who get challenged by conflict in a way where it excites them. I am not one of those people. I don't like conflict. I have to really practice it. I have to practice to do it well because I'll avoid it.
Right.
And want to pretend that it doesn't exist. But when it comes to constructive criticism, like I said, there's certain people where they could tell me anything and I might not like it, but I won't feel like it's conflict. Unless we're hangry and we're trying to figure out whether or not, you know, our flight is going to be canceled the next day and we haven't eaten yet and we're very intense.
That just happened.
That might be a real story.
That might just be a real story. But this is why it has to be people in your inner circle. Yes. So they know when you're starting to lose it and you just need something to eat and maybe to sit down for a little bit. And then you can talk about what's happening with your flights and life goes on and it's all okay. And so
no criticism needed.
No criticism needed.
Other than, let's eat.
Right. Right. Exactly. So we have this product, actually.
Oh, I love that you're bringing this up.
Of the Honor Code of Conflict Resolution. And really, point two and point three come right out of that. Because we've taught it before in webinar or in coaching programs. And we've now developed a product for it. So you can find it in our store.
Maybe what we'll do is, because this is totally off the cuff, this entire episode is basically off the cuff.
Yep.
And so you're getting a little bit of a glimpse of what it's like to be in maybe one of our like group coaching programs, but also it's just a different feel because Lance isn't here asking us these great questions. So maybe what we'll do is we'll make sure that we put a link in the show notes.
Yep, we can totally do that.
To the Honor Code of Conflict Resolution.
Because really these are point one and point two of the Honor Code. The first two steps of the Honor Code are to let the dust settle and look in the mirror. And we're not going to tell you everything.
Right.
But this whole idea of letting the dust settle is the same thing as don't react right away.
Right.
And this tool, if this is resonating with you and you're like, I don't handle criticism well at all, don't let the name fool you that if it says conflict resolution, the Honor Code of Conflict Resolution, when you have relationships with anybody, whether it's a friendship or a business relationship or a marriage, there's going to be time when criticism comes into play.
Yes.
And learning how to handle that will make all of your relationships that much healthier. And the Honor Code is going to help you do that, because this is what all of those things are from.
For
don't react right away and respond with confidence.
They're like, and, you know, I think the Honor Code of Conflict Resolution has actually been one of our top classes that we've ever done. I mean, it's the content that people love the most, really, when it comes to when we've done it live and everything. And so just because we want to make sure that you totally understand what you get with that, because why wouldn't we? I mean, we haven't done that before. That's totally not what this podcast is. But you get three coaching MP3 audios with it, a bonus audio where we answer questions from our clients, and then a 20-page workbook.
Right.
20-plus page workbook. So you can get that on the show notes. Are there any other thoughts that we want to share with people about this whole idea of criticism? That I feel like when it comes to criticism, like when I was in high school, I did a lot of like band and choir type things.
Right.
And I always feared the criticism that would come from the people that were critiquing me.
Yep.
Did you ever fear
this
that?
This was the reason why I never did a lot of solos or anything like that. And this was the reason why, even though I love to play the piano, my mom was always after me to play more in church or play more like on my own for solos. I was always part of like a band mm-hmm. because I never wanted to stand out to get, like, if you're critical of the music and there's a whole band to share the criticism or whatever, great. But if it's only you playing at your piano, you're the reason it fails or succeeds. And so, yeah, I totally avoided it.
So for those people who might be, maybe they're musicians or maybe they are entrepreneurs, and they're thinking of, you know, how can they get better? How do they decide whether or not somebody's in the arena with them? Besides their inner circle, like, what would be some of the factors of deciding whether or not this is the business coach I should work with, or who do I need to go to get constructive criticism to become better?
Right.
Because isn't that the point of constructive criticism? It
is. Okay, so I think my response to that would be find somebody that's doing what you're doing at the level you want to be doing it at. Those are
that's
the
good.
So if it's a coach you're looking for, if you're in music at all, if somebody is going to speak into your life, they A, need to be in the arena, which means they need to be doing what you already do.
Yes.
So if we had criticism from somebody who wasn't a coach or somebody who wasn't an entrepreneur or somebody who was just trying to tell us how to run our business but has never run their own business, their feedback doesn't matter. However, if our business coach decided that she needed to tell us something specific about our company to change or whatever, that's a whole different ballgame because we've found somebody that mm-hmm. we want to model our business after and model our business practices after, and she has the right to speak into it. So look for those kind of people. Look for the people in your arena that you look up to, that you want to be like and aspire to be like, and go from there. That's the kind of people you want to speak into your life that may be outside of like family or friends. Mm-hmm.
I think really when it comes down to it, constructive criticism is supposed to stretch you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's supposed to help you maybe get another viewpoint on something that you've maybe been too narrow-minded on.
Right.
I think it's supposed to grow your courage.
I agree. And I think you have to have people around you that will see things you don't. We mm-hmm. all have blind spots.
Yeah.
We all have things that we get too far into that we can't see the truth from the lies anymore sometimes. Or like just that simple phrase of you miss the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have people around you that can help you find your blind spots, that can help you see what am I missing? What am I not seeing? What is it that I could be improving? Because sometimes you need an objective And honestly, that's maybe a different way to look at criticism is more an objective thing. Like you're trying to go to the next level, not trying to like criticize every single thing you're doing right now. It's meant to help you grow. It's meant to be objective. It's meant to boost you forward instead of keeping you back thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe they said that.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. We're going to have to listen to this so we can write it down. All right. Well, I think that this has been a jam-packed episode.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we've been talking for over 20 minutes now on very little notes. Yep. So apparently we had a lot more to say about this than we thought when we first started. So we want to thank you so much for hanging out with us. And next week we will have Lance back in the studio. We'll be in the studio ourselves back in North Dakota. But we just thank you again. Hey, if you have enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate your help. Do us a favor, and before you go, take just a few moments and rate this podcast on iTunes. That way we can get it in front of more people. And as always, let's rise up and build a courageous nation together. Bye-bye.